So, today's feast day, welcome to the solemnity of the Epiphany. By the way, do you know what the Epiphany means? It means like revelation, okay? And to me, when I was reading and praying about this, one thing jumped out at me. To me, this is like the feast of God blessing humility. Why? Well, first of all, one thing that probably a lot of us don't take into consideration is this. In the New Testament, so in the Gospels, Jesus is constantly reliving stuff from the Old Testament, like little segments from the Old Testament where we got it wrong. And he's constantly going back and kind of reliving those moments, but this time they're getting it right, okay? So what is the moment that's getting relived here? How many of you remember the story of the Tower of Babel? Ha, okay, you don't need to say anything, just keep it... I know, this is not Edge, this is Mass, okay? Okay, got it. So in the Tower of Babel, basically here's the following. It says, this is like in kind of prehistoric time, so it's kind of mythological language is being used, but they said, at that time, all the people were together, it was like one people, and we all spoke one language. And we decided, let's build a tower. It's going to reach up into the heavens so that we can be like God. That was the idea. Now, the problem isn't building the tower. I mean, we have many buildings in Manhattan that I'm sure are much bigger than anything that they built in the days of Babel. But the point was, it's a symbol saying it's that primordial desire that we have to be like God without the inconvenience of actually having to have a relationship with God. It's like we don't need God to be like God. We're going to do it on our own. And that actually, I don't know about you, but that sounds a lot like, at least when I was growing up, when I was younger, a lot of the climate that I grew up in was that. It's like, we have science, we don't need God. We are technological people. God is something that primitive peoples believe in and pray to. And then when you get older and more advanced and more scientific, you graduate from that and you don't need him. Does that sound familiar? That is the Tower of Babel logic. So, what does that lead to? In the original story of Babel, it says God looked upon them and he struck them so that all of their languages would become divided and they wouldn't be able to speak to each other. They would all of a sudden, like this one people that was unified, all of a sudden we started seeing divisions. Why? Because pride always leads to division. Always. Pride, the logic of pride is basically this. In Spanish, you would say, la verdad es una y la tengo yo. Okay? What's that mean? Basically, he's saying, I am the center. Now, if you have a million different people in your country and each one of them thinks, I am the center, you got a problem. Okay? That is the logic of pride. It's you do you. You're not answerable to anybody else. You do you. You do what you think. You, as long as you think it's good or it feels good or whatever, you just do you. Okay, that always leads to division. And so it is logical that when we try to be like God and we kick God out of the picture, instead of having a point of unity, and that's, by the way, is the function of God, the Holy Spirit is the great unifier, okay, that we're going to start splitting up. Whenever you see divisions in society, know for a fact that that is not the work of the Holy Spirit, that that is the work of the devil. Every single time in culture and society you see people pitted against each other, which happens all the time, that does not come from God. Okay, so what happens now? Centuries and centuries later, Jesus is about to be born. I don't know, probably a few weeks ahead of Jesus' birth, a star appears in the sky. Now, these guys, we don't know where the Magi were from. The best guess is that they're probably from what would be modern-day Iran. Just out of curiosity, I did a little search this morning, and it came up with about the answer I thought anyway. I said, if you were to walk from Tehran, which is the capital of Iran today, to Bethlehem, how many miles would it be? It was like 950 miles. So I'm guessing, ballparking it, that's what the wise men traveled. The wise men see this star in the sky. So probably more than a few weeks, probably months ahead of time, the star appears. And for whatever reason, God knew how to communicate with them, but it communicated to them a king who brings salvation is going to be born in the land of Israel. Now think about this. You talk about, I was saying, whenever you see divisions, and you know, for example, think of racism divisions, right? Every country, we all have our pride, our national pride and everything, right? How many of us would be inclined to say, someday there will be a savior from Guatemala, and when the star appears in the sky, even if I have to walk, I will walk from here to Guatemala to go and give reverence to the savior. Some of us might have second thoughts, you know, that's Guatemala. Maybe if it was in Kentucky or something, I might consider it, you know, the savior should be American. Why would he be in Guatemala? Oh, come on. Okay? By the way, if there are any Guatemalans here, sorry, I'm just picked a random example, okay? So it already takes a certain amount of humility. But the Magi were men who were looking for truth. Now, if you are a person who is seeking truth, no matter what, automatically you are humble. Because to truly be a truth seeker means that I'm looking for something that is true regardless of whether or not it is convenient to me. I am willing to give up whatever I feel like. I'm willing to give up my opinions at times, whatever, as long as I can have the certitude that I am clinging to what is true. That absolutely requires humility. And that's what these guys did. And then they had to take on a journey. Like I said, probably traveling about 1,000 miles, okay? Now, traveling 1,000 miles, they did not have an interstate system. They certainly didn't have vehicles, but you know, camels or whatever the heck they were doing. I don't imagine they walked it, but at least camels or some animal. They're going through desert. It's hot. There are dust storms. There's all kinds of dangers out there. They could be hijacked. I don't know how big their caravan was, but these guys, frankly, were loaded. They were rich. If there were robbers, they're going to notice that. And if there's a big enough group of robbers, they're going to notice that too. Okay? These guys were vulnerable. Maybe going through countries that might not have always been so friendly, saying, okay, you can pass through my borders, but it's going to cost you. They risked all that. Because they were seeking the truth, they were seeking God, and they were willing to do whatever it took. And then, as they're traveling, they get close to their goal, and the star disappears. How many of us have done a retreat, for example, and you do the retreat, and you feel like, God was there and he was talking to me and I feel on fire and I wept and we had adoration and the Santissimo and I not only I wept but then I fell down and you know I was moved and was shaking on the floor and I had this life-changing conversion experience and then 3 weeks later I'm right back where I was. And we start to doubt. Maybe it wasn't that big a deal. Maybe, I don't know, I just feel cold. I feel like God isn't with me anymore. The star is gone. What can we learn from the Magi? Okay, when the star disappears on you, which it's going to do, it's going to happen. God will allow the stars in our lives to fade at times so that we can walk by faith. What do you do in those times? The Magi teach us a lesson. They go to the professionals. Okay, they had already arrived to Israel. So, now this is actually kind of a funny way to go about it. This actually proves that the Magi were also quite naive, but God blessed them anyway. So the Magi, I think, here's the logic. Well, if anybody knows where the newborn king is to be born, why don't we go to the local king and ask him? And okay, they went to King Herod. He is one of history's notorious bad guys. That's about like saying, hey, I know. There's going to be somebody born in the Soviet Union who is going to become the next great leader. Let me go knock on Joseph Stalin's door and ask him, hey, Joe, where's the guy who's going to replace you going to be born? Like, not a good idea. This is basically what they did. King Herod killed his own children. because he was jealous of them. He was a bad dude. But these guys, I guess in their innocence, went and they figured that this guy should be able to tell us. And God blessed that. They went to King Herod. King Herod, of course, said, huh? What? King? What? Okay. Tell me more. And then King Herod consults with the real professionals, who were the religious leaders, the scribes and Pharisees. And they knew the answer. They said, but they were like bored. Hey, where's the newborn king of the Jews supposed to be? Go to Bethlehem, because from you, Bethlehem, although you are the smallest, from you shall arrive one who will lead my people, blah, 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 blah. And they couldn't care less. Okay, we're going to get back to the scribes and Pharisees. Now what happens? The Magi set out on their road, and the star appears again. Okay, here's a pro tip for you. In your spiritual life, when it feels like the star in your life fades, find people who you can talk to. Could be a priest, it could be, you know, some nun or something, but it could just simply be, who are the wise, holy people that we know? This church, by the way, is full. It doesn't mean you're perfect. You all have your errors. I've got my mistakes. I've got my weakness and everything. But this parish is full of people that are legitimate men and women of prayer. And if you go to them, you know, they can make their mistakes, but they can be instruments of God. And frequently when we turn to somebody who we know, this is the person who walks the talk, and turn to that person, God will use that person and give us the answer that we need. And the star will reappear. And if we really have doubts, like I said, go to your priest, go to confession, bring it up. I've got this doubt. What the heck is going on? I don't know what. The star has faded in my life. God blesses that humility. So the star reappears, they go, they find the child at Bethlehem, and what do? By the way, when they find the child, they do not find Julius Caesar in his palace. They don't even find King Herod, or, you know, they find a poor man and a poor woman in a cave with a baby. The most radical poverty around. And they, nonetheless, it doesn't even say that they give courteous words and say greetings and give some gifts. In one of the translations, it says they adore him. Adoration is something you only do for God. How could these wise men who weren't even Jews know to adore Jesus? Because when we are humble, the Holy Spirit is free to communicate to us. And we pick up on things, messages that the Holy Spirit wants to give us. Now, who wasn't there? Who could have been? Scribes and Pharisees, for starters. The scribes and Pharisees knew exactly where to find the Messiah. Imagine this. Here they are. All the people in Israel knew, more or less, there was this buzz. Sometime around now, the Messiah is supposed to be coming. So there was already kind of a feeling. There had already been a couple of false messiahs in the past. This star appears in the sky that everybody can see. Then these wise men come out of the east looking for the star and saying, well, according to us, this signifies that some great king is to be born in Israel. And they're like, that should register something. And they didn't lift up a finger. They didn't pick up their one foot after another to go find out. Why? Because the scribes and Pharisees didn't think they needed a Messiah. We're good. We're already doing what you're supposed to do. I'm living the law. The Messiah is for all those other people. But I'm already good. What is the Messiah going to tell me? It's just going to tell me I'm already, just keep doing what you're doing. Why should I go find him? Pride. When we are proud, we miss the opportunities, the things that God wants to be able to tell us. The scribes and Pharisees could and should have been the first people there right along with the kings. And they missed the boat because they were lazy, complacent, because they were proud. And then there's King Herod, proud in a different way. proud, again, in Spanish, mal plan, right? He would say he had bad designs, impure motives. For him, he was proud because he saw the child, all he saw was a threat. He saw something as anything at all that is a threat to me and my plans and my dynasty and my family and my this and my that has to go. And if I have to come a few weeks later and wipe out every child that has been born under the age of two, I will do it. A man like that cannot hear the voice of God. Men like that will not be able to experience the manifestations of God. So, if there's one thing that you and I can learn from the Epiphany, it is this. It's that God wants to communicate to us. And if we are interested in hearing Him, then the path to hearing Him will always be humility. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.